thank you for tuning in to Big Ed's Neck, the only 90 Day Fiancé podcast. Today we're going to be talking about 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After, Season 8, Episode 2, The Princess and the Pea Brain. My name is Marty. I'm here with Jen.
Hey, hey.
Let's get started with Juno and Jasmine. I didn't need to see the scene with Jasmine and Gino's feet.
No, and I felt like that went on for way too long.
Way too long.
And I actually kind of like gagged a little bit when she said that, like, oh, this middle part in between tastes like cheese.
Ugh.
I really, really hated that. Because we all know what that smell is.
Yeah, it's awful.
You know, we know what we've smelled it at some point in our life. Ugh. And we know it. And then,
toad cheese. Ugh.
And then you put it in your mouth. I need a minute.
Or about the ass play. Like, I don't know. Pop a finger in Gino.
I would rather listen to Jasmine talking about ass play with Gino than
the toes.
Wouldn't
it be funny if he became a professional wrestler and his name was Papa Finger?
I can't even speak on the toes.
Puke. Ugh. So Gino doesn't know that Jasmine's had trouble getting pregnant in the past. It's just It's just one more like of Jasmine's secrets.
Yeah.
For someone that hates.
Yeah.
You know. Being lied to or lies of omission, right?
I mean, she found a napkin in the corner of some cabinet of Gino's birthday from 1,000 years ago, and that was a secret. But she just keeps pulling them out of a hat,
man.
World War III.
But yeah, she pops it. Yeah, no, she pulls her secrets out like a rabbit out of a magic hat.
Like the little cloth thing out of the sleeve.
It just keeps going. Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. But she has this whole, like, schedule, like, when she needs to, like, when they need to bang so she can get pregnant.
And she calls, like, his specimen fish. And I hate that, too. I guess swimmers, whatever, I guess that's where it's from. But, like,
I don't care for that.
It reminded me of the Dr. Seuss, like, one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. But, like, blue pill, you know?
Because
he's like, I'm going to need my blue pill by that day. Like,
She's going to wear him out, huh? Yeah, I don't know. Gino, like, he wants to do things naturally and not have this whole, like, regiment, like, schedule and everything. And I will say, I know some people that have had trouble getting pregnant, and, like, the moment that they decide that, like, they're just going to stop trying, suddenly they get pregnant.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Yeah, I know people like that, too. And it's, like... And I do see what Gino's saying of, like, I don't know. Like, I mean, they already have their problems with intimacy, but it's, like, then you add this... pressure, like, Gino obviously doesn't do well with pressure with that, like, correlating with his, like, sex drive. So from the way Jasmine treats him, when she treats him badly, like, that shuts him down. So it's like, I think that adding this pressure on him of, like, we have to do it X amount of times during this time period, you know, like, in order to have a baby, I think that's gonna just make it even harder for Gino to be able to perform.
I would imagine. Shit.
And I'd imagine it takes the fun out of it, too. You know, like, we're doing this because we have to, not because we, like, want to.
Yeah, don't make it a chore.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
Unless they have, like, toe play and ass play and make it fun.
Make it fun.
Just,
ugh.
Hate it.
So, Jasmine's concerned that Gino might not work that hard to get her kids over.
Gino shit the bed, man. Big time.
Oh, boy.
Big time.
Big time. And
I'm on Jasmine's side 100%.
And Jasmine's mom is sick, apparently. It's looking like she probably has cancer.
Yeah.
They don't know for sure, but they're running tests. It sounds like it might be cancer. So they go off to talk to a lawyer about bringing the kids over to the USA and when she'll be able to visit Panama.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she won't be able to she can visit Panama when they get the green card thing rolling.
Yeah.
But that'll take 8 months.
Yeah.
At least. The other problem is Gino, the expert, the guy that insisted we don't need an immigration lawyer. I know how to do all this myself.
Because he wanted to be cheap, not pay for it.
He wanted to be cheap, didn't want to pay for it. He fucked up.
Yeah.
He didn't put the kids on the K-9 visa.
K-1 visa?
K-1, K-9 is a dog. Didn't put them on the K-1 visa that would allow them to bring the kids over.
Yep.
Right? And they really can't do anything about it. They gotta submit a whole thing.
Yep.
And it's gonna take years.
Yep.
To
Whereas
sort out.
Now they could have brought the kids over at any point they wanted if Gino had did that. And I loved this attorney so much because he's like, oh, Google didn't tell you that. And throwing shade. And he's like, well, now, because, you know, you thought you were the expert, now it's virtually impossible.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And I bet he deals with that a lot. Guys that think they know better.
Yeah.
And they do it the wrong way. And now they're like, save it. Fix me. Fix it. Save it. And he's just like, I can't.
Yeah.
You know, and like you fucked that up.
This should have been some kind of phone call. Like, I don't know. If I was Gino, I knew she wanted to bring her kids. And yeah, maybe I try to be cheap and I try to Google it to, you know, to the end of the earth and back, you know, make sure I do it right. Like, I would want to make extra sure, like, about the kids. You know, like, that would be at least a phone call you'd make to somebody.
You know what? He tried to be cheap, tried to save that money. And now it's going to take a couple of years and to retain a lawyer for, you know, it's going to be $5,000+ per year to retain a lawyer that long.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, you really saved a bunch of money there, pal. You know?
Yep.
You shithead.
And just the way that Jasmine, I mean, all the times we've seen her lose her shit, it's like she, I don't know. To me, it said that she was really, really hurt because she was so quiet. Like, she was just staring at him, you know, looking over at him, didn't say a thing.
He had to know he was dead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
As soon as they walk out of there, he's dead.
Yeah. Don't go on a boat with Gino, or Gino should not go on a boat with her anytime soon over any kind of body of water.
And it's like, and it's the worst situation for Gino because she said before, we should get a lawyer to handle this.
Yeah.
And he specifically was like, no, I've done this before. I know how to do it.
Yep. I got big egg on his face. Big time.
So Gino fucked up.
Yeah, he did. And I was actually, this is probably one of the first times I've actually been angry at Gino. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know what I mean? Like, he's an okay guy, and Jasmine has given him a lot of grief for some shit where I've been on his side most of the time. But this one, like, wow.
It's hard to be on the side of this one.
You really fucked up on this one. Big time. You
really fucked up.
A little cheap ass. Now look at yourself.
Yeah, you made a deal of a lifetime, pal.
And I'm sure Jasmine has told him, and probably even told us on one of these other seasons, that like she's not going to come here without her kids. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and then
she has
now
said
look
that
at him.
Before. Yeah,
now look at the position he's put her in.
I look at you now, you stupid fuck. Yeah. How about Emily and Kobe?
I love Kobe. Kobe is,
I like Kobe.
He's like, he can do no wrong to me. He's just, yeah, I don't know. He just seems like a good spirit. I don't know.
He does. And Emily's just the opposite of that for me.
Yeah.
She can do no right.
Sometimes she's kind of funny. Like, I think sometimes her like bossiness or just the way she is a little bit funny. But the totality of it. Yeah.
The totality of it. You're right. So they touched on Cameroon. Kobe's all excited, but he's afraid because in movies, American women are depicted as being very arrogant and bossy. Thank goodness Emily is there to dispel those stereotypes.
Yep.
They had a bunch of porters help them with their luggage, which we experienced that in Jamaica. Like, people were like, just from the plane, just take your stuff and take it up to the bus.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, you know, you tip those guys. I don't know if they tipped the porters in Cameroon.
Maybe
we
didn't see it.
I don't know. It seems like kind of be a cheapskate to not tip. But of course, it was like 20 dudes bringing all their shit.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Kind of reminded me of like some kind of assembly line of like,
it
was like weird, like in just like passing the luggage along. Like, I don't know. But I was like, well, that's kind of cool. I mean, especially all those bags.
It was nice to have, right?
Yeah.
But Kobe was like arguing with this group of dudes, and like apparently they were trying to hustle him for money or whatever. But I wonder if it's because he didn't tip the porters and then they're like, dude, fuck you. What the fuck? Or maybe tip them very little. I don't know.
I feel like, who knows? I feel like Kobe's pretty respectful of his home country. You know what I mean? I feel like he wouldn't just like not tip if he was
I imagine. Yeah, you're probably right.
Probably it's just people that like, oh, you're here with a film crew and shit. You got money. Give me money. You know?
Right. It sounds like they do that all the time too. So I don't know. Emily feels like she's a fish or is like a fish out of water, like sticking out. And everyone's kind of like staring at her.
It's like, well, I mean, yeah.
Kobe's like, welcome to my world, dude.
Yeah. Like, you are a couple of white people in a predominantly black area. You know, town at least. I don't know,
I know
all of Africa, but you know, it's like.
At least that area was not very white, right?
Yeah. And again, I thought that was kind of, I don't know, maybe I sound stupid saying this, but like, I felt like that was kind of a stupid, like, surprise for her. Like, I don't know, like, this, you didn't, I don't know what she expected, kind of just like she expected also to be basically just like Lion King.
I was gonna say that was the dumb part for me, when she expected the Cameroon to be like the Lion King.
Like, did you just think there'd be like, no people here, just safaris and like, animals? Yeah.
Yeah. No, you think like a meerkat or warthog would greet you and take your luggage?
Yeah.
Like,
what? Exactly. Some wise fucking monkey would come out and like give you advice too. Like,
swinging
what?
A stick at you. It's like, Emily, Jesus Christ, dude. Yeah, no. Cameron's just like the Lion King.
Yeah.
They bought the African clothes, and David made the Wakanda reference. I thought that would be so cringe, but apparently Kobe's like, no, you should do that. Because they're going to go meet Kobe's family, and they stopped off at the stand to buy African apparel.
Yeah, and that's where I liked how all in, like, David and even Lisa, like, all of them were, you know, to dress the part, you know?
Yeah.
But then Emily does say it, which kind of surprised me and made me kind of appreciate her a little bit, was she said that she felt like kind of disingenuous, like putting on these African clothing not knowing anything about it.
Right.
And that is like some white people shit, you know, where they go somewhere and like, oh, this is cool. And they like have no idea the culture behind it or anything.
This is a sacred headdress and they're just wearing it like he's an idiot. Like, this is sweet.
Yeah. Or like taking some kind of like, I don't know, like what's the garb called that like Muslim women will wear?
No.
But then they just like tie it into like a crop top, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like just like shit like that.
And
like, so I did like that she was like, I feel kind of disingenuous.
And
like,
even
doing
Lisa
this,
was like,
this
is like offensive. This feels like it might be a little.
Yeah, I was glad they were aware. Like, this feels like this could be offensive, you know?
But Kobe assured him it was okay. It's cool.
And so I guess, you know, got to take his word for it. But I was a little bit cringy of like, ooh, should you be doing that?
I'm happy they're embracing the culture and everything, but they did look like rejects from a De La Soul video. You know what I mean? Like, like some shit Queen Latifah wore back in the Unity period, you know? Like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
How about Ed and Liz? They're back.
I know we've said this before, where we've questioned, why does TLC think we want to keep seeing them? And well, Ed in particular. And it's like, I don't know if TLC thinks that Ed is like a lot funnier of a character than what everybody else thinks. But it's just like, he's that guy that is like, you know, like your not friend, but like your friend or your coworker that like thinks he's really funny and has really cool jokes.
It's just annoying as shit.
Yeah, and every time you see him come around the corner, you're just like, God damn it, here we go. You know, and you hate him, but he's so unaware that he just thinks, he has no idea everybody hates him. He's walking towards your desk
and you're just like, don't stop here, don't stop here.
Yeah,
stop
or you
here.
Pretend.
Oh, hey, Ed.
You pretend you get a phone call all of a sudden, like, sorry, I gotta take this call. You know,
And it's like, TLC sucks because, you know, their angle probably is, he gets people talking, but then they'll fire people like Alana, who said some like racist shit. And granted, she said some racist shit, but it's like she said it years and years ago. Ed, like last, you know, right before he started filming with TLC, was apparently doing some fucked up shit.
Yeah.
And they're just like, so, you know, they don't care.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, I think it's because, and I've said this, we've said this many times, like, If someone accuses you of some shit and you're on one of these shows, just don't acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Because
it'll just go away.
An apology is an admission of guilt, you know?
Yeah.
Because Ed has not acknowledged it, hasn't said a thing, and he's been on like 8 seasons since then.
Yeah.
You know?
And his just whole character is just so gross. Like, I don't know what...
Greasy and...
Yeah. I don't know what TLC thinks viewers like
about
him.
But it's like, they can't have it both ways. You can't be like, oh, he gets views, and then also be like, but we're going to respect people, respect these accusations and respect people, you know, for if they violate culture or whatever, you know, offends people or whatever.
Right.
Like, you can't have it both fucking ways, dude. Yep. It's just, ugh.
And then I also, when they, you know, they show that picture, you know, the pictures they have of like when their scene's coming of like them like together or whatever, him and Liz. And like Liz, she's always been taller than Ed, so they must have edited it to make them like the same height. But it's like, somebody said something and like posted like a screenshot of that and was like, if you hang out with Ed too long, you'll start to look like him. And yeah, man, like that's what I thought. I was like, oh my God, she looks kind of like him.
Ooh.
And she's, I don't want a body shame, but she's puffed up a little bit.
Yeah,
every time we see her, and that happens when you're in a shit relationship.
You
start to eat your depression of being around them.
Or if you start dating a heavier person, you're probably going to put on some weight because you're going to take on some of their habits.
Yep, absolutely.
Maybe they'll take on your habits, but you're probably going to take on their habits because it's more fun.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. Maybe he was staying on a box. don't know.
Maybe, yeah.
Some trick photography like in Lord of the Rings, the forced perspective.
Yeah.
So first and foremost, I hated Ed's cowboy hat.
Yeah, me too.
I wanted to shoot it off his head, like, and for a few dollars more.
I just hated, like, the whole... And again, it's like they played it up like it's this big, funny, comical Big Ed scene of, like, where they did the dramatic camera angles of that fucking lawnmower and him getting out, putting his fucking leather gloves on and bullshit.
Like a tumbleweed.
And it's like they tried it. Like, does TLC really not get that nobody thinks this guy's funny? Nobody thinks he's charming and funny?
Look at the accused rapist. This is hilarious.
Yeah, like, oh, really? We're going to put him on this thing and we're going to make it look like he's, like, saddling up a horse or something. Like, nobody likes him.
No, I didn't care for it. We got to see Liz's daughter for, I believe, the first time.
I think so.
She looks a lot like Liz, actually.
She does. Yeah,
very much so. They're in Bentonville, Arkansas.
Yep.
Which I'm sure is lovely. Property in Arkansas is probably a lot cheaper than San Diego.
True. You know?
So they're still engaged, haven't married yet. But she talks about their relationship being a roller coaster. Don't you think that's a red flag? Like, if a relationship should it not really be like a roller coaster?
Yeah. And even if there's a period, maybe, where, like, you have a little bit of a roller coaster, it should smooth out at some point.
You would think?
And I'd kind of want it to be a little smoothed out for a minute before I get married.
And it's like, my wife and I have been together, you know, we've been married 10 years, but we've been together for, like, 13 years. And I don't think it was a roller coaster. I mean, some weird shit has happened around us that we lean on each other for, like, you know, deaths in the family and shit like that. But our relationship itself has not felt like a roller coaster.
Right.
Like, it's suspiciously smooth, you know, for 13 years. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm the wrong person to ask, but I feel like that in and of itself is a red flag. But
yeah. I mean, because they haven't even had a steady... I mean, I don't.
It started off as a roller coaster for them.
Yeah,
it was like the demon drop, like right away.
Exactly. I don't know. And then when they're sitting there interviewing him or whatever, and then like Ed makes some kind of stupid joke again, and she's like, "Oh, he," like awkward giggling. Oh, Ed's already pissing me off. Like red flag,
not
man.
Cute, man.
Yeah. If the guy you're with speaks and then pisses you off, you should probably reevaluate. Yeah,
like, it's just not meant to be, all right?
No.
It just isn't meant to be.
Like, you are, I think that she liked him, loved him at one point, and then I think things just got so bad and so much damage happened where I don't think she's been able to really, I think, like, he's in that, I've been there. We're like, you hate him, but you don't quite know that you hate him. But like internally, like your body, your soul knows that you hate him, but like your mind just hasn't quite caught up yet.
Yeah.
So it's like you're kind of there, like almost like in this kind of purgatory. You're kind of waiting to see if they become whatever version they were that you know you liked and loved at one point. But they are not, and it's been a really long time.
The thought of them just gives like that awful feeling in your stomach, like, oh,
yeah.
God.
Or some, even when like you get like a text from you, go, you know, like,
fuck.
But like you,
like, that's not a good sign.
Yeah,
that's not,
and it,
you know.
I'll tell you though, it is so bizarre because your body will absolutely be repulsed by someone.
Oh yeah,
and your mind just still will not quite be there yet. It's such a like a lag, you know. Like it's got to get there.
When they say follow your gut. That's what they mean.
Yeah.
Don't trick yourself into thinking this is okay.
Yeah. If you find yourself sighing out loud to a text message from your partner, you might. You might want to give yourself a minute for your mind to catch up there.
So I don't know, they apparently learned a lot from therapy when they were on last resort.
Basically though,
last chance. Liz feels more secure in a relationship, but we've heard that like a lot, I feel like.
Yeah,
you know, like, I finally feel secure in a relationship. It's like, again, like, what, you know? So she gave up her partnership at the restaurant, which we knew was not going to last with Ed around.
Yeah.
Ed wasn't going to let that happen.
And that really bothers me because the kind of person that Ed is, like, he wants that control. He does want to isolate her. And he has.
Right.
He's moved her out of San Diego. He's gotten rid of her career. And,
And it's like, it's something she was so excited about. She was all about it. And it's like, just his reaction, like, if you're going to stick with it, he's going to make your life miserable.
Yeah. Yep.
You know?
Absolutely. And, he already has. You know? Like, I mean, even... I mean, because, like, that's what happened to me is, like, you know, gradually, like, you know, I started putting on weight. I started to, like, give up the things that I liked. I started to, like, and it's, like, they do it so slowly where they just take little tiny pieces of you at a time where they're so small you don't notice, and then one day it's like again you catch up and you're like, holy shit, man. And like that's what you can see he's been doing that with her, and I hate it for her.
Yeah. So, well, now they're going to try to sell real estate together.
Because their whole, like, photography shit together worked out?
That didn't work. Yeah.
No.
But, oh, I can already see what they're playing. Like, oh, Ed, you can take pictures of the property because you're, like, a great photographer or whatever.
But then you know he's going to still, because he wants control, he's going to still want to be a part of, like, actually selling the property.
Oh, yeah.
And
100%.
It's going to be them, too. Just like their little mock shit with the kid pretending. Like, they would start almost, you could tell they were, like, really wanting to start arguing with one another. Because Ed's going to try to speak over Liz and correct her and whatever. And Liz is going to feel like, you know, you keep stepping on me or, you know, and it's just, they're just going to fight. And they even say, we just can't fight in front of our clients. Like, dude.
Oh, really? Real mature of you to come to that conclusion.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're probably going to bank on, like, their exposure on the show. And if it were anybody but Ed and Liz, I wouldn't even fault them for it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's them. So I'm just like, ugh, I don't know.
Agreed.
And like Liz doesn't think she's gonna end up being, you know, Ed's employee. Like, yeah, no. Let's see about that.
She's going in hopeful that she can be an equal, but it's not gonna happen. And Ed's like, not gonna let it happen.
If it's already a question of whether or not you're gonna be an equal, then you're not gonna be an equal. You're already not an equal.
Agreed.
You know, you're already coming in subservient. So how about Rob and Sophie? Rob believes that Sophie should just get over her problems and come home.
Yeah. Yep. And which, of course, that means no apology from him, no accountability, I'm sorry for my part, and acknowledging he had a part.
Drop all this pretense of me apologizing and just come home.
It's just, we're not going to talk about anything I did wrong. We're not going to talk about anything I need to change or do different or whatever. Just whatever you're upset, whatever's going on over there, just get over it. Just
get over it. Come home. And listen, I forgive you. Just come home.
Yeah, I forgive you for being upset with me.
Yeah,
just come home.
Yeah, right?
Yep.
And he was talking like he's a single parent to these spiders. Like, he's all dramatic about it and shit.
I'm like, I have a good feeling that Sophie didn't want those fucking things.
That was a Rob thing.
Yeah.
That was a fucking Rob thing.
Yeah.
No fucking way.
And I really, because I've experienced this again myself, like this really heavy, like, when the narcissist like plays this heavy victim card where they want like all the sympathy from people, and it's like, dude, you're the fucking monster. You get no sympathy over here, and everybody watching sees this about you.
Yeah.
So is Sophie perfect? No, but Rob is 100% a narcissist. Absolutely.
Oh yeah, I have no doubt in my mind.
World's tiniest violin.
Very
for that fucking
much
guy.
So. So later, Sophie met with her mom at a bookstore and lets us know that this is the first time she saw her mom. Her mom actually like
holding a book.
Read a book, like hold a book.
Yeah, she's like, I've never seen a read ever.
I was like, that's not surprising. That checks out.
Yeah, that does. that tracks.
Told mom about the argument. Mom, of course, gives her unbiased and rational advice.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then Sophie's like, still, and again, I've been here, so I cannot necessarily fault her, but because I know the cycle she's in, but it's like her being like, well, maybe he can still change. Maybe he can. And the mom's like, are we talking about the same guy? Are we talking about Rob? And I was like, Claire, I'm on your side here. You're right.
No, she's right. And also, it's not Sophie's responsibility to change and help Rob grow.
Or even give him the time for himself to change. It's like, hey, man. You can be patient. You can, you know, but it's like.
But that's your life. That's your journey. I want to do my own shit.
Yep.
I want to go have fun and live my life.
Exactly.
While you get your shit together.
Exactly. And that was like my thing of like, dude, I don't want to be in my mid-30s clinging desperately to like being 21. Like, I'm okay with being in my mid-30s. I'd like to start acting and living like it. You want to cling to being 21 and you are not.
Because listen, your mind might be 21, but your body is mid-30s. And
it's like,
trying
I'm
to keep up with this fucking 21-year-old. You're like, oh, God damn it.
Yeah. You know? It's like, I'm good with being an adult. I don't need to cling to being a child anymore.
I have at it. I don't even miss that shit.
Exactly.
I don't miss that shit. So they're going to meet up again about her potentially moving home. Does Sophie's mom have dentures?
I don't know.
We've talked about the way she talks weird.
She might have veneers. She might have veneers.
You
not
think veneers?
Probably veneers.
Because it's just the way her mouth is shaped.
Yeah, it's like she's got stuff in her mouth.
Maybe,
yeah.
Does she have like a partial or something? I don't know. But
I think
maybe
it looks like
veneers.
I think so.
Maybe that's
If she's had like the other kind of work done that she has, she probably got veneers too.
Okay, no, that makes sense. Yeah. So I was thinking like, because you know, drug addiction can fuck your teeth up.
Yeah.
So you know, okay. All right, then something's going on there with the teeth.
Yeah,
something's going on.
I'd bet veneers.
Okay, Rob might have a porn addiction.
No, he doesn't. It's the attention. And that's again narcissists. They need validation. They need constant attention. So that's why they talk to all these other women.
Feeding into,
and they put all these like sexy selfies or little videos of themselves or pictures because they need the likes. They need the attention. They need the validation. That's what it is. So he's addicted to, if anything, to attention.
It's that interaction.
Yeah.
Because like just a simple porn addiction, it seems like he could be on Pornhub 5 times a day.
Yeah.
And like, okay, that's a porn addiction. But it seems like he needs that communication, that back and forth.
He needs people essentially telling him,
how
you're hot.
Awesome he is. Yeah. It's like, so that to me seems a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, a little different. You know,
when she was like, oh, he might have a porn, I just rolled my eyes. Like, no, he's a narcissist and he needs attention to survive. That's it. That's what he needs.
He needs that constant validation.
And getting it from one person is never enough for a narcissist. No. It's not enough. They need lots of people telling him that.
Right. Sophie tells us a little bit more about her mom's addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, mom has overdosed and Sophie saved her life.
Been there.
Whoa. Yep. So that's a lot going on there, man. I don't know.
Been there a time or two.
Yeah.
I've been there. So I feel for Sophie. It's a lot when you have to your parent.
So it's like, you know, not to shit on Sophie at all, but it's like she probably has no idea what a healthy relationship looks like.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's like you can't blame her. It's not her fault.
And that's what I've learned through the last year and even before that in therapy. Of healing from the bullshit I was in and involved in was hey, this keeps happening to me. Why? And it's the pattern. And it is. It's exactly that. I never experienced a healthy relationship growing up. So I don't really know what is healthy and what's safe.
Right.
What does a normal amount of fighting look like? You know what I mean? What does a normal this look like?
I'm
like,
allowed to stand up for myself.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to assert my needs and my wants.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. You're allowed to have your own needs. Like, you're supposed to, you know? And so that was a lot that I had to learn was that, like, I don't know what a healthy relationship is, but, like, here are the things that you're missing. You're missing boundaries. You're missing, you know what I mean? And, like, that's what I've had a lot of development in.
And that's probably what Rob loves the most about her.
Narcissists love people that are good, kind people, but don't have boundaries.
Right.
And that's exactly where Sophie is.
Yeah. Because, you know, a healthy, well-adjusted woman would never put up with his shit.
Yeah.
You know, would never put up with that.
And that's where with my ex, as soon as I started learning more and more about boundaries and I started to, like, that, like, duh moment of, like, hey, you're allowed to have needs and you're allowed to vocalize them, you know?
Right.
And, like, when I started to set boundaries, just little simple ones even with him, he would throw fits. And then, like, even when we weren't really fighting or whatever, he'd do little jabs of, like, well, you have no problem setting boundaries with me. Like, where he hated that I would set boundaries, and that's because narcissists hate that. They hate that because that affects their control over you. Like,
yeah,
oh no, she's starting to get a backbone. Like,
need unfettered access all the time. So, how about Nicole and Mahmoud? I like saying his name, Mahmoud.
Mahmoud,
it's fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. Nicole is dressed up like Aeris from Final Fantasy VII, waiting for Mahmoud at the airport. Not everybody is going to get that reference, but the people who do are going to love it because that's what she looked like. Even at the airport, they were bickering.
Yeah. Well, okay, so he gets there, and she wants to kiss him right on the lips, right? And it's I didn't like it because, one, Nicole needs to respect Mahmoud's culture. Whether she's in Egypt or here, she needs to respect it. And it's for him, over there, you don't do that. And so for him to just come here, he doesn't magically just think after 20 plus years of conditioning over there.
Thank God
that,
I'm not in Egypt
fine.
Anymore.
Yeah, like, thank God, finally. Like, it's still weird for him. And she's forcing it, and he keeps turning his head. And like, it's like he's uncomfortable.
And
stop.
And we've said this so many times. She needs to listen to us. That just because he's not in Egypt anymore doesn't mean he's not going to follow Egyptian rules.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's like, like you said, like he grew up in the culture that's not an okay thing to do.
Yeah.
That's not just going to go away magically as soon as he lands in the good old US of A Come on.
And just like how he was forcing her to wear like that head to toe fucking swimsuit, like she's forcing him to do her culture, if you will.
Right.
Well, here we kiss people right out in the open all the time. We make out, even, you know, bang sometimes right in the middle of the day, you know.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, okay, well, don't force your shit on him too. You know, you got to find that middle ground.
Exactly. You know, it goes both ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
And then I loved that she was she was mad at him and annoyed for not sleeping on the plane.
Well, yeah, it's like, have you tried to sleep on a plane? It sucks.
It's like, I've done an international flight or two in my day, and it's like the legroom, like my knees lock up. Like, I can't sleep on a plane.
No.
Like, just, I don't know.
And I think that was probably Mahmood's first trip.
Yeah.
Probably on a plane ever, let alone an international, you know, 30-hour flight.
Yeah.
So, no, he probably didn't get a lot of sleep, and you can't really fault him for that.
Yeah.
You know? He's fucking tired.
Yeah, and I would be tired too.
Even if he slept on a plane, he'd probably still be fucking tired.
Yeah. Because
it's not going to be good quality sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
You know. When we got back to the apartment, Nicole had a lot of pillows in the bed, and it kind of bothered me.
She did, and
I kind of
I liked it because, like, so I mean, I don't have that many pillows, but, like, I have a couple throw pillows or whatever. Like, you know, it's like, it's kind of a typical thing, like, men versus women, where, like, men always seem to think women have too many pillows, like, on the couch, on the bed. It's an argument I've heard before of, like, why do you have all these pillows? What are all these pillows for? Like, it's a normal common comment from men, and women are just like, oh, what do you mean? It's not a lot of pillow. Like, it's so I liked it. I liked that even countries, separate countries, like, it's the same.
The fuck?
Like, men in Egypt are also like, what the fuck's all these pillows for?
Yeah. Because it's like, you got to go to bed, you got to take all these pillows off.
Yeah,
like,
and then put them back on.
Like, what are my sleeping pillows? What are the right decoration pillows? And then, yeah, you get up in the morning, make your bed, and I got to put them all back on.
Yeah, I got to put 10 pillows back on here.
Like,
what?
Who's even going to see this? It's our bedroom. Who cares?
Yeah, like, that's way too many. And he also didn't like her her weird naked painting.
Her naked painting? He didn't like the mannequin?
Nope. And I thought not everybody enjoys having, like, nude art anywhere in their home, right? Maybe it's not their thing, you know? And it's just, but, like, a mannequin? Like, dude, it's a plastic doll. I thought he was too much with that.
I saw his point with the art. Like, okay, maybe that made him uncomfortable. Okay, the mannequin is, like, it's a mannequin.
Like, he did rugs or some shit. I was like, wasn't he in fashion or something?
I think they did make dresses and shit. I don't know. Because didn't he have an uncle? He was going to try to work with the uncle to make dresses.
Oh, fashion with her, or something like that. Yeah. And so it's like, what's your issue with this naked plastic doll?
It doesn't have nipples or anything.
Or like a
orifices
slit
or
whatever.
Yeah.
It's just
a fucking piece of plastic with a head, you know? Yeah. Who cares?
That gave very, like, I don't know, kind of like that, I don't know, like, kind of that weakish kind of thing of, like, men, where, like, men are just really uncomfortable by things they just don't understand.
Right.
Like, you know, kind of, like you're just, you've seen a naked woman before, you know what it looks like. It's like, why are you so uncomfortable by this plastic
mannequin? There was no detail.
It's not
it's a real doll or some shit,
And it's
like,
in your home. Who's going to see it?
Who cares?
You know,
like, nobody's going to fuck the doll, man.
Yeah.
People have to, I have read things about a dude in Ferndale that got arrested for trying to fuck a mannequin.
Wow. How long ago?
Well, probably 10 or so years ago.
Oh.
But the story was, he tried to fuck the mannequin, went to prison, got out, and then within like a day or two of getting out of prison, he broke into a place and tried to fuck their mannequin.
What kind of crime is that? Like, where you get 10 years?
It's definitely like B&E.
Well, yeah. Well, I guess that would be. You made it sound like he got charged for having sex with the mannequin.
It wasn't his mannequin, guys. That, you know, I don't know. Maybe I should have been more clear that it wasn't,
like,
his
he
mannequin.
He probably went to jail for breaking in.
No.
So.
No one found his cum-drenched mannequin and was like, I'm calling the cops. And then, no, he broke into a place and fucked their mannequin.
Yeah,
and went to jail for it.
Yeah. You got to be. Yeah, went to jail more specifically.
No, you're right.
For the B&E part.
I should have set it up a little bit better. You know, but yeah.
Yeah.
And then he got out of prison. And, like, within a day, went right back because he fucked someone else's mannequin again.
Well,
can't keep his hands off those mannequins.
I guess it's better a mannequin than
a person.
Well,
definitely. You know, it was my mannequin. I'd be pissed. Like, throw the book at the son of a bitch. Like, you know how expensive mannequins are? Come on, man.
Fair, yeah.
So, but Mahmood was tired. He wasn't expressing himself very well, so Nicole got all upset. He wasn't doing, like, cartwheels and shit. Right.
And I thought that was just so unfair. Like, I just thought you'd be more... Well, there's a level of, like, I don't know. Like, you would expect there to be some kind of excitement to at least see her. And he was just kind of like, blah. But, like, yeah. Also, I mean, give him a benefit of the doubt here.
He's had a long couple of days, man. Yeah. You know? It's like, I understand her disappointment, but at the same time, like, you got to give the show a little bit of... He's fucking tired, dude.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Ashley and Manuel. So I thought Manuel's kids were a lot older. They're only like 12 and 14.
But that's still old enough to understand, like...
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying that because he was acting like they were fully grown.
Oh, okay.
You know, when we first heard about his kids, he's like, oh, they're grown. They're doing their thing. He's like, no, they're children. They're actually kids.
I had the impression they were like teenagers, but I just thought maybe like 15, 16.
Well, I thought like 17, 18, maybe 19, something. I didn't think... 12 and 14. Those are kids.
Yeah, they're still kids.
They're babies. Yeah. So that was, I thought it was a little weird. And then his response to Ashley asking him, like, why doesn't he talk more about his kids to her and stuff? And, or why didn't he bring it up more? And his summarize, you know, basically what he told her is, well you didn't ask.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's a weird response to me. Like,
yeah. Like, I've had that before, like, but bad shit. It's like, well, you never asked me. Like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't specifically ask you. You know what I mean? It's like, that's the game we're going to play.
But then if she was like, well, what are your kids like? Tell me about your kids. He'd be bitching about her being needy and, you know.
That's what she said. Like, that. Then you complain that I'm asking you too many questions.
Right, right. And it's like, I don't know, being a dad, you'd think it would come up.
Yeah.
You know, you would just be like... Man, I saw little Manuel Jr. the other day, and he said this. It was so cute. Or he called, and he said this and that. I don't know. Like, the fact that he just doesn't talk about his kids ever is a little weird to me.
Yeah. And, like, the fact that I just don't like his whole, I will tell whatever personal information I want to tell you. And it's like, dude, right. You're married, man. You should be, you know.
And the thing is, it's tempting to be like, well... It's because of all the cameras and shit. He doesn't want to get into his personal life. But he was like that before the cameras showed up.
Yeah.
Because they've been together for like a couple of years and like even more than a decade or something.
Yeah.
That they've known each other. And he just has never, he was always like this.
Yeah.
So it's like, he's just weird. Like,
yeah.
Like I said, you guys are married. You're kind of past that point.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not going to be married to somebody who is just like, I'm not going to tell you about my personal life. Like,
right.
What?
It's like, if you're on a first date with someone, you don't want to talk about your kids because you're kind of getting to know them, you don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's different.
Fine. That's fair. But you're fine, like, you're married. What?
Yeah. And I don't want to tell you about my kids. Like,
that's personal.
Yeah. What?
Like, what? You know, married couples talk about some personal shit.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, I'd figure, you know.
I can go on. A couple things. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You know, it's like, hey, look at this rash. Should I go to the doctor? You know, that type of shit. I don't have a rash. My wife doesn't have a rash. But that type of stuff.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
Body parts and things.
You don't have a rash anymore.
Well, yeah. Let's put it that way. So. And their segment was actually pretty short. That was kind of it.
Yeah.
You know,
saw Rico Suave again for a minute. He's still around. So
Rico Suave, yeah. Little
doggo.
Little dog, yeah. So they haven't gotten rid of him.
Nope.
Yet. So we'll see. I wonder if he's still sleeping in the bed.
Yeah, right.
Probably not. I don't know. So.
And then we did hear, or I did hear some buzz on the interwebs that there's some suspicion that Angela and Michael have been canceled. I guess they no longer, like, and I noticed
they are
too,
supposed to be on the season, right?
They are, but like the previews for this upcoming episode or this week, Angela and Michael still aren't in it. And then there was something else somebody else pointed out online that noticed where, like, it seems like, yeah, something about that. Like, they no longer have, like, a feature in, like, the previews or whatever of, like, they're a part of it. So maybe because Angela was holding Michael fucking
that
against his will or whatever.
DV shit,
yeah. Yeah, like, maybe they're gone.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
We'll see.
This many episodes in. But, I mean, we haven't seen, what is it, Lauren and Alexi either yet. So.
No, we haven't seen them yet. And we are seeing, you know, Mahmood and Nicole have a DV thing going on.
Yeah.
I mean, they are on this season, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just we haven't, you know, sometimes it takes them 4 or 5 episodes to get in. But,
yeah. So we'll see.
I thought you were going to talk about Rob's OnlyFans.
No, but yeah, guys.
Deleted OnlyFans.
Yeah, allegedly Rob used to have an OnlyFans, and a
lot of butt stuff from what we hear.
Yeah. Also, why didn't that ever come out on any of the tell-alls?
So. That had been my first question.
It's like all these times while Rob has said, like, I got a job. Look, was that the job?
Was that it? Whatever.
Yeah. Make your money, man. Whatever.
I'm not a hater. Do your thing. Yeah. But, God, that would be so funny if he was just getting pegged.
Rob is a total piece of shit, but he is fine, though. I'll give him that.
He's not a bad looking guy.
He is a good looking guy.
And that's why he gets away with all the dumb shit he gets away with.
Yeah. Because he's hot.
What do you mean? An ugly dude would not be tolerating this shit from an ugly dude.
Well, I tolerated my share, and my guy was, he was medium ugly, I'd say.
Well, yeah, but you didn't know he was medium ugly at the time.
True, yeah. So, and he's aged horribly.
Once you get away from it, you're like, oh boy, he's really kind of mid.
Yeah, yeah. Very, we don't talk about it. Yeah, we don't talk about it anymore.
We don't talk about Bruno. No. So. Well, that just about does it for this edition of Big Ed's Neck, the only 90 Day Fiancé podcast. Please join us next time. And we'll talk about 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After, Season 8, Episode 3. Maybe with Angela. Who knows? Time will tell. Goodbye.